Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy and I'm a careers consultant here in DCU Careers Service. As part of our spotlight on this year's virtual recruitment jobs fair, I am joined by Podge Henry, who is part of the Jemison International Graduate Programme here. Now, Podge is no stranger to DCU. He completed a BA in Communications in 2017 and subsequently went on and gave a year as Vice President for Welfare and Equality with the DCU Students' Union. So, first of all, thank you very much for participating in this episode, Podge. And one of the things that we're very, very struck about is the success of the Graduate International Programme, but also about the Jemison as a brand. So, and then who are the brands owned by? So maybe the first question I'm going to ask you is, maybe can you tell us a little bit about the brand and how it's linked and what organisation owns the brand?
Yes, first of all, Siobhan, thank you very much for having me back. It's always great to come back to DCU in any way, shape or form. And yeah, you know, that's a great start, to be honest, because often people can be confused, certainly when we talk about the Irish Distillers or Pernod Ricard, and they wonder where does Jemison sit within this. So I guess Jemison is a brand, and that brand is owned by Irish Distillers, where we make some of the most enjoyed whiskies in the world, such as Middleton, Spot Range, Method of Madness, Powers, of course Jemison, as I mentioned. And then Irish Distillers is owned by Pernod Ricard. So Pernod Ricard is a French company, and I guess that is the global organisation of which Irish Distillers sits in. And within Pernod Ricard, there's hundreds of different brands. I definitely won't be naming them all, but some that people definitely know, like Absolut, Beefeater, Jacob's Creek Wines, which is part of Pernod Ricard winemakers, Chivas. There's hundreds of fantastic brands in the spirit category that sit under Pernod Ricard, and as I said, that is Irish Distillers and then Jemison. So the Jemison International Graduate Program sits in there. So that's why often people might hear Irish Distillers or Pernod Ricard.
Yeah. Now, whiskey has, I suppose, in more recent years, has kind of developed a new kudos, or I suppose maybe new markets with different population groups. Is whiskey remaining popular, Podge?
Yes, I mean, whiskey is. I mean, it's always on the rise. We actually just hit a 9 million cases in 1 year, which is a huge milestone for us. And we find that whiskey is always growing, which is incredible, and the brand is always growing. And I guess that the Jemison International Graduate Programme, you know, your job while on the graduate programme is to build brand advocacy in an international market, so you to build and continue that growth of the brand love in international markets. But you do find, Siobhan, that, you know, it's not as well known in every country. I know people, certainly DCU students, predominantly the Irish students, would know exactly what Jemison is. The whiskey, it's iconic here in Ireland. It's you know, something that you know so well. But you know, in other markets, excuse me, it mightn't be that well known, and could be very, very small, and people mightn't have heard of it. And there could be a different brand that is more prominent. And it's funny because when you get out to those markets, you kind of realize, whoa, you know, there's so much work that can be done to build this brand. Because it's quite unwell, it's not as well known at the moment, and that's kind of what makes the job so amazing.
I love this word advocacy. Now, you know, you don't always get it associated with a business function, but you know, maybe could you unpack that word advocacy in relation in how it means for the Jemison brand? Because it's, you know, in this context, it could be quite different than another context. Could maybe unpack that a little bit more for us?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, you're, as I mentioned, your role is to build brand advocacy. So you're trying to build advocates for the brand that is Jemison, people who love to be associated with the brand that is Jemison. They love what the brand stands for. They love what the brand is. And that is essentially your job at market. So you do that by making connections and working with people and doing events. And, you know, one of the key jobs is to, you know, work with the bartender community, because they are such an important community for us, certainly on trade as well, because they are the people who essentially drive the love for the brand. And, you know, you see, it's really amazing to see people all over the world who might get the likes of Sine Metu, which is our brand motto, which means without fear. But that I've seen tattoos of that on people, because they really love the brand so much. And a lot of that comes down to the brand ambassador work in that market where they're doing the events or they're making those connections or they're staying culturally relevant in order for the brand to stay, I guess, top of class. And that is how you kind of build that brand advocacy and that brand love with the consumers and, of course, the bartender community and other stakeholders too.
Very good. And do we see, you know, whiskey being much more used in cocktails now? Because obviously cocktails then is part of there's a resurgence in that market too.
Yeah, we definitely do. I mean, like the cocktails are definitely on the grow, especially since the COVID-19 virus hit and people are starting to get, you know, we after 18 months, we're just starting, well, certainly in Ireland, I know it's different in other places in the world, but, you know, people are starting to go into bars now and they're treating themselves a bit more with cocktails. And the cocktails are lovely, but there definitely is. Whiskey is definitely being, but whiskey was always used in cocktails. I guess it's something that is just kind of more popular. But you know, the job isn't all about, I guess, alcohol consumption. As I mentioned there, it's about brand advocacy. So you could be doing that with events or you know, merchandise to hand out to bartenders or to gift them. There's so many different ways, you know, digital activations, you know, brand education, such as educating people on the brand, whether it be through tastings or such. So there's so many different ways that you can create advocates. And that's what makes the job so fun and so interesting, because you never really get 2 days that are the same, that are similar, because you're always doing something new in the international market that you're based in.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the word international, so we might kind of broaden out. So maybe take us through the type of candidates and the talent that Jameson are seeking for this program.
Yeah, brilliant. Great question. I think one of the common misconceptions that we get is we're looking for a very particular person and everyone in the graduate program is the same, which is far from the truth. I think one of the things we do look for are people who, I guess the key words we're looking for, people who are innovative, who can be self-driven, self-starters, who are willing to step outside of their comfort zone, because as I mentioned there, you're going to an international market and, you know, it mightn't be an American you know of. It mightn't be your, you know, America, your Canada. It could be somewhere in Asia where you've never been to before. The Philippines, Malaysia. It could be somewhere in Europe where you don't know. That's what makes the job so exciting. So we look for people who are willing to step outside their comfort zone. And I guess the key trait that we're always looking for is serious character. So I guess to clarify, we're not looking for a serious character. We're looking for someone with serious character. So we consider a serious character a trait. And what that is kind of someone who, as I said there, is innovative, creative, can work as a great professional and be very professional and courteous to their employees and stakeholders. But at the end of the day, have a bit of fun as well, because you need to be able to have fun at this job, because you're trying to spark connections. You're trying to do cool events. So that's what we look for. We look for someone with that serious character. But everyone is very, very different on the graduate program. And it's a necessity that they are different, because every market is very different. So while the bread and butter of the role is always going to be the same in terms of your six key pillars of the job, you know, every market is different, and you lean on different pillars in terms of what you do on a day-to-day basis. So you know, we have so many different and amazing graduates on the program, and they all have their own different attributes and talents and skills. And I guess that's just what kind of makes the global family that we do have so unique.
So you yourself have just moved into the brand ambassador role. You were in a marketing role before that. So tell me a little bit, how is it all going for you? What insights, because you're quite new to this particular role yourself. So, you know, what would you like to share back with our final year and postgrad students about the day-to-day of the role?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess for those listening, last year I was the marketing assistant to the program. So I was office space, which... it's usually the case, and majority of the guys in the graduate program are brand ambassadors. I think it's funny, because it really is, you know, I really noticed how that you do have to be self-driven. You do have to often make your own schedule, and going out and meeting bartenders and introducing yourself and, you know, meeting the stakeholders and different people who are relevant to your role. The more you do that, the more you see opportunities rise. And it's very interesting to notice trends within the bar trade and just how important they are, certainly as the bartender community, are to our brand. But it's very different. It's not like a job I've ever had before. It's much more fun. I'm on the field. I'm talking to people. My role is to build relationships, is to, in essence, make friends, which is a pretty cool thing to do, I guess, all day. And look, it's really fun. And as I said, it's very, very different. And working with the marketing team too, seeing what's in the pipeline for Christmas or for March, which is, when we activate around St. Patrick's Day, which is a huge time for us. It's just really cool to see all the things that are down in the pipeline and to be a part of that, working on the iconic brand. And for me, myself, in Dublin, which is the heart and home of Jameson brand and the whiskey. So I think to be a part of that is so, so cool. And you're getting up, you're driving around, you're going to different bars, you're meeting new people. As I said, you're to be self-driven. It's not structured, and that's what I really, really like. I like meeting people, I like being in the field, and I think if that is of interest to someone, then this is the job for them.
What discipline areas is it? More marketing? Is it languages? Is it a bit of everything? Can you maybe, obviously you came from a communications background, can you tell us a little bit more about the types of skills and abilities that Jameson are seeking?
Yes, so you mentioned there are languages. While having a second language isn't a necessity, it does give you it does help you with your application process, because it just means that there's more places we can send you, if that makes sense. So we have 8 key languages, and we wouldn't send a brand ambassador to a country with one of those 8 key languages that are spoken without them having the language themselves. Now, as I said, it's not a necessity to have a language. If I'm being honest, on half the time I struggle to speak English, that's about all I have. But, I don't have that second language. But if you do, we look for brand ambassadors to send to, markets in Latam, Asia, Europe, and Africa. So having those languages like Spanish, the 8 key languages you can find on the website, I probably don't know if I'd be able to round them off straight.
But anyone can check out the website.
But having one of those languages definitely helps. But as I said, it's not a necessity. We do look for people who are innovative, and that's really important, certainly when you're coming up with events and coming up with ideas, and your interpersonal skills and relationship building skills are really, really important, because as I said, you're on trade all day, you're talking to people, sales reps, you're talking to bartenders, consumers, so you really need to be able to build a relationship with people. And after that, as I said, that serious character, but we have different brand ambassadors who have loads of different skills, but those skills they have been able to utilize in their own way. So people who are really good at photography and videography, it's not a necessity, but they've managed to weave it into the job, and have made some really cool things. So having your own skill set is really, really cool, and we always like people who come with something new to the table, and finding a way to utilize that skill set, or to utilize that quality in the job, whatever way they see fit.
Brilliant. So can we maybe talk us through the whole steps of, the application and the selection process?
Yeah, exactly. So the application process, it is an online application process. The initial, there's 3 parts. There's an online application process, which consists of a written application as well as a video application. So the written application, which is all done, by the way, through the website, jamesongraduateprogram.com. It's not CV based or anything as such. So you fill out the written application online, which consists of questions, just details about yourself, why you want the role, experience that you've had. And then you submit that with a 2-minute video as well. And the video is essentially the written application, but in video format. But we want to know a bit more about the candidates themselves. Like, who are they? What makes them tick? What do they do outside the lecture hall? Why do they think they have that serious character? And the video is strictly 2 minutes long. We ask them then to upload that to Vimeo or YouTube or whatever site works for them, and then you submit the link with the written application. for people who are listening, I mean, I just say go over to our YouTube channel, James and Graduate Program, for hints and tips in terms of what makes a good video application. You would submit that, and then after the deadline closes, the team back in Dublin will go through all the applications, and they will then invite a certain number of candidates to assessment centres round one, which typically consists of a 2-minute presentation. It will consist of some group work, a group activity with a group that you've just met. And finally, it would be an informal interview, 10 to 15 minutes interview. That is assessment centre round one. They will then go through the candidates for round one and narrow it down to assessment centre round two, which would be the similar format in terms of a 2-minute presentation, but the topic would be different. Another group assessment. And the final thing, the final would be a panel interview with our market activation managers who are in different countries around the world. So that would be the final parts for, that would be the second round of assessment centres. And then you would then typically be offered the job after that. Now, and it is a lengthy process, but as I mentioned, we don't hire from a particular discipline. We have people from all backgrounds in terms of degrees and courses and universities. So we are looking to hire the person. And as I said, that's where we're looking for that serious character. We're looking for the person rather than what they studied. So it's a lengthy process, but we just want to make sure that we get the right people for the market, because every market is very, very different, as I mentioned.
So how long is the graduate program?
So the graduate program, it is an initial 13-month contract, the first month of which is a training and development program, which would take place in Dublin, a 4-week training and development program, which would take place in Dublin, where you're taught everything you need to know on the brand, on the product, on your market. And that's why you don't need to have previous experience in whiskey at all. When I joined the program, I actually had no knowledge of the production of whiskey. Of course, I knew what Jameson, the brand, was, and I loved it myself, but I didn't actually know how it was made or anything as such. So we teach you everything you need to know about that. That is during your training and development program for your first month. Then your next 12 months of that initial 13-month contract is your first year out in your international market. Then there's an opportunity to rotate for a further 12 to 24 months, for another year or 2 years, in another international market. So typically you would do 1 year in one international market and then 2 years in another international market.
Would it ever be that you might be the only brand ambassador in that country, you know, or, you know, would it be that maybe there might be a couple, you know, for France or something like that? Or what way does that work?
Yeah, so you literally just hit the nail head there. It's both, to be honest.
Mm.
You could be the only brand ambassador in a particular market, or you could have someone else. So I think it's for the guys over in Jakarta in Indonesia, there are two brand ambassadors. In France, we have two brand ambassadors in Paris, I believe, Miyuki and Loic. And then in certain markets like Malaysia, I will be the only brand ambassador over in Malaysia. Or in the Philippines, Paula is the only brand ambassador in the Philippines. So it changes. And even in the likes of Spain, I guess we have three brand ambassadors, but they're all in different
regions.
Cities.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're working out of a Pernod Ricard office. So you're never just...
This is what I was going to ask you, Padge. I was kind of saying, God, it would be very isolated, but it sounds not then. You're working out of a wider team, you know, as well.
Exactly. And some markets as well, there's other brand ambassadors for different brands. As I said, you know, we have Chivas, we have Beatty.
Oh, I got you. Yes.
Now, that's not always the case, too, but you are working out of a Pernod Ricard office. So you do have a manager, you do have employees. Sorry, you do have fellow employees.
Mm.
You're not just in a country by yourself.
Mm.
You do have a support network around you. And even with that, the graduate team in Dublin are constantly checking in with you. And you constantly have calls, and you know, you're never really too isolated. And as well as one thing that I've definitely noticed is, you know, you're in a group with currently 55 brand ambassadors. So you're in a group with 55 other people who are all going through the same shared experience. So, you know, you're always in contact with those guys, and you end up meeting some of your best friends on the graduate program. And you're always in contact with those guys, and you know, you're always staying in touch with each other and exchanging ideas and exchanging stories. So while you might be the only brand ambassador in that country, you're certainly not alone.
And I suppose that whole thing of being on the ground then as part of a wider Pernod Ricard team then is you probably just really get to know the culture, the context, because I'm sure one approach doesn't, you know, for culturally, I'm sure it's not, you know, you can't just one size doesn't fit all.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, as I said there, every market is really different. So the needs of a brand ambassador in a certain market would definitely fluctuate between whatever market you're talking about or whatever region in the world it is. So it is, it's always going to be very, very different. But, you know, the bread and butter of the brand ambassador role will always stay the same.
It just needs to be contextualized to, it could even exactly. be contextualized. I'm sure like a country the size of Spain or France, you might even have to contextualize it different in region. Never mind, exactly. you know. Yeah, and very, very interesting.
You know, you have brand ambassadors who are going to parts of the world that they would never have even dreamt of visiting or living in. And then they find themselves calling these places home because they get so used to it. And because the role, the nature of the role is to be out on trade, is to be out experiencing the culture, experiencing the people. You find that they adapt rather quickly and so well because their job is to embrace the country and the market that they're in.
And what way does it work out? Like, would you need a driving license now before, you know?
You do. So the key requirements we do ask for is a fully clean driver's license, is legally eligible to work within Ireland because you are hired by Irish distillers, even if you're in international market, you're hired through Irish distillers. And as I said, finally there, we look for those with that serious character. So those are the three requirements. And then after that, it's whatever else that you bring to the table.
Yes, I've seen some of the videos on the YouTube channel. And now, in fairness, I've had the privilege of meeting some students over the years and seeing their video submissions and reviewing them before they submit them. So the one thing I know, I don't know whether it's optional now, but one stage it was optional to provide a video. I always encouraged students, you know, to do the video. Is it still optional or is it compulsory now?
It's compulsory now to do the video.
Very good. That's a difference now in the last couple of years because it would have been optional. So I'm glad to see it's nearly compulsory because it nearly caused more angst when it was optional, you know. People didn't know whether they should do it or not, you know.
And it's funny because I think one thing for students who are listening here, the video, like if you look up on YouTube, Jameson International Graduate Programme Application videos, and you'll see a lot of people who've submitted theirs over the years. And often, you know, one of mine is probably one of the first that comes up. Now I would say that mine was well over time. We've become very strict in the last.
Oh, you've gone hardline. You're gone on the inside yourself now, Podge, and you're gone hardline. And they weren't hard with you at all. Typical, isn't it?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They're ready to put the foot down. But I would say that for that, the video, you will notice that it's you know, 2 minutes, it has to be 2 minutes now that they're being strict on that. But in terms
Well, it's really a reviewing thing as well. I could understand it from the other side as well, especially if it's gone compulsory now, you know.
Once I got in the role last year, and they kind of realised the effort that goes into screening each one, you're like, oh, God, if you add an extra minute to all the applications, that is a lot of time added. But the production value of the videos, I think this is one thing that seems to come off. My video comes up is one of the first ones that come up, and it was quite well produced in terms of one of my skill sets is content creation. I have a huge interest in creating videos, so it would have been put together quite well. And I think often people think that this is the standard that they're looking for the videos, which it is not at all. You don't have to be a whiz at making a video. If you, as I said, if you go onto our YouTube channel, you will see I made a video, I think it was 2 years ago, of how to make a simple but effective application video. And I think that is, you know, you don't need to prepare yourself to the likes of my video, which is well produced, if you don't have videographer skills, because your skill set could be, you could be a fantastic marketeer, and you could have incredible relationship building skills. And the team will find that out, not only through your written application, but also in the assessment centres too. So if the video was throwing people off, I 100% would say just make it. Just make it a small video and put it up, because if it gets into assessment centres, it could be assessment centres then where you really shine. So, you know, I think often people who I've talked with, they're always like, oh, the video is what scared me off. Don't let the video scare you off. As I said, we're looking for people who want to step outside your comfort zone.
Exactly.
Step outside that comfort zone, because it could be the start to a fantastic career in marketing.
I've seen some simple ones, like, you know, so I think one of the ones I saw was just someone sitting in an armchair beside a fire. But, you know, I think that person had a, you know, had French or something. So, you know, that was their talent that they wanted to demonstrate, you know. So it depends, as you said, it's not always about the videography or anything like that. It's the quality of what you're trying to communicate through that video. You know, like some of them, like in fairness, Podge, like they're quite innovative. So maybe, you know, if we talk about like innovative, stepping outside your comfort zone, and I suppose demonstration of serious character, like you know, it's hard to demonstrate all three things in a 2 minute video. But for some people, they'll be able to demonstrate the innovative more. So for others, it might be that stepping outside their comfort zone. And for others, again, it might be just they're taking a communication style that will demonstrate that serious character. So it is only 2 minutes, and you know, you can't touch maybe everything, but you can demonstrate at least one of those things through that communication piece. And I suppose it's just when you talk about the type of work that you're already doing as a brand ambassador, and if we're talking about the things that you'd have to do in the assessment centre and maybe going out to a different country, it's, you know, it's in your own best interest to maybe start pushing yourself that little bit outside your comfort zone now, and incrementally through the process of engagement with the programme, you know, you'll kind of build up that, I suppose, a resilience tool or that capacity to go out and actually do the job on the ground then.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. As I mentioned there in the video, you know, as I said, it's really to get a sense of who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, really important, you know, talking about what makes you tick outside of your lecture hall, because once again, as I said, we're not looking for particular degrees. Obviously, studying languages just give you a slight advantage, as you know, you can, the possibilities of certain markets you can go to is expanded because you have those languages. But you know, after that, we're not really looking for particular disciplines at all. So we want to know who you are, because we're hiring the person as opposed to what they studied.
Brilliant. Listen, Pat, listen, thank you so much for your time today. It's been absolutely brilliant. I'm delighted for you that you've started your role as a brand ambassador. I know from what you've said that it seemed, you know, that you're very excited about it, and you've thrown yourself into it, and you're very much enjoying the process. So you're really kind of living, you know, now what applicants are hoping to achieve for themselves. So thanks for your insights on that on the day today.
Thank you very much, Lana. It's a pleasure being on the show.